I'm not sure the, I don't remember the first Sunday that I heard those wondrous noises. We were third graders, fourth graders, and the minute we finally figured it out, me and the boys, we were Baltimore Colts. This was back in the time of the Sputnik satellites. Beatniks were all the rage. Transistor radios hadn't even hit the market yet, and the Beatles not even thought of. I was a scrappy kid, lived in this neighborhood here in Baltimore of a bunch of other scrappy kids, and our neighborhood was, as the crow flies, about 3 miles distance from the then-famous Memorial Stadium on 33rd Street. The Baltimore Sun used to write about a Memorial Stadium as being the world's largest outdoor insane asylum. During those days, the Colts, Johnny Unitas, Raymond Berry, Lenny Moore, Gino Marchetti, you know, all of these just great, great Colt players were there at this time. And in Baltimore, they were our heroes. They were our icons. And in fact, they lived and worked in Baltimore during the eight-month offseason. You know, football today is almost year-round. Back then, it was 3 months. And when players would score a touchdown, you know, they'd simply just drop the ball past the goal line. There was none of this spiking the ball or fist pumping or, you know, dancing in the sidelines, any of that kind of stuff, because that was left to the insane asylum fans in the stadium who were jumping up and down and cheering and all of this crazy stuff. So in our neighborhood, the grown-ups would go so far as to hire charter buses to take their friends and family and neighbors off to the Sunday games at the stadium. And great that it was, but there was one problem. No kids allowed. The tickets were too expensive, and the grown-ups had to have their way. I mean, they wanted to be, you know, at the football games, and of course, we did too. So in lieu of being at the football games, us boys in the neighborhood would get together and play football while the games were going on. This one, the Colts were so popular that a wondrous thing would happen during the games at the stadium. When a good play was made by the Colts, you'd hear this emanating out from the stadium to our neighborhood. And when a great play or a touchdown was made, you guys, that was sustained for and louder and go on like that. And we knew that, you know, it was Johnny Unitas that had scored a touchdown. We didn't need TV. We didn't need radio. We just needed the sounds emanating from the stadium. So one late fall Sunday afternoon, you know, the parents trundle off with their blankets and their libations up to their charter buses, and us kids are left there in the neighborhood to play our football game. It had rained the night before, and we all decided to gather in Scooter, Mark, and Carter. Scooter, Mark, Carter, in their backyard, because they had a good backyard for football. And we knew there were some soggy spots in the field, but we, being the boys that we were, agreed to just kind of play around the soggy spots. And our game started. Jimmy was the biggest kid. He was always Johnny Unitas, you know, because he was the biggest kid. Scooter and Bobby used to switch back and forth between Raymond Berry and Lenny Moore, and you never knew which was which. But, you know, we play, and that was the way it was. I favored the center, Dick Szymanski. You know, go figure. You know, I mean, nobody else wanted to be the center, so I had it, you know. It was great. And so we were playing our game as the game at the stadium was going on. And we hear this roar, and we stop, and, you know, that's great, you know. And then we hear this loud roar, and we knew, touchdown, Johnny U scored a touchdown. And we were doing the antics like they were doing in the stadium, not the players themselves. So one of the guys, Bobby Lacey, the instigator, spied a couple of gallon jugs of apple cider staying chilled on the back porch, Scooter's back porch. And he reasoned that, you know, hey, it was okay to drink this cider. And Scooter had said, no, my parents said, don't touch the cider. It was for a special occasion. And Bobby said, well, no, it's okay, because she can get more. Your mom can get more at the supermarket. Okay. So he lit into this jug of cider, right out of the jug, and we all shared in it. And it tasted a little funny, but we had some. You know, it was good. It was good. And off into our game, and we're playing our game, and the field, for some reason, is getting soggier, and one of the kids had left the water hose on that we had been drinking from the water hose earlier, and then we graduated to the cider and forgot to turn the hose off. And so things are getting slippery, and there's another, more cider. And then we're playing, you know, and Lenny Moore and Raymond Berry, and, you know, all this stuff is going on. And this was kind of an amazing game. It was so slippery, and Mark and Carter couldn't stop laughing. And then Angelo, one of the most energetic guys, he was like sleeping on the sidelines. And me, I just decided to start tackling everybody. You know, splash into the mud, you know. I said, this is a great game, you know. More cider, you know. And so, as twilight started to come on, and the second empty jug of cider was laying on the sidelines, our game went silent. The hardened cider had won. Drunken, passed out, third graders all over the field. The next thing I remember was picking my head up out of the mud and looking over and seeing several parents picking their soggy, muddy kids up off the playing field and carrying them off. And I couldn't hold my head up. I just said, gone. You know, I was gone. Well, I got to tell you, that week things were pretty quiet in our neighborhood. Except for the chattering, nonstop, mom-to-mom phone calls, okay? This was when phone calls were a big deal. Mom-to-mom phone calls. And from what I could gather, the parents couldn't figure out which one of us kids was to blame or if it was Scooter's mom and dad that were to blame. But somehow, I knew that us guys would be ready to be Baltimore Colts again the next Sunday. Thank you.